News Talk 770 AM 92.5 FM WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Sitting here in the studio. Beautiful day outside, having a cup of Just Love coffee. I am really having a cup of Just Love coffee. I'm not kidding. I get their Keurig cup so that here at the studio I can crank one up and have some caffeine right as I get going. Hey, listen, by the way, folks, there's a whole lot of stuff you might want to know about Right Side Radio, like not the least of which is the fact that Right Side is hiring right now. This show is growing. We got a lot going on, and right now we're looking for sales reps. And if you are interested in having a job that pays well, gives you flexible hours, allows you to get out and about, then I'm going to tell you right now, we're looking for folks like that. Somebody who's engaging, who knows how to shake a hand, look someone in the eye, and represent the values of this particular show. So, yeah, Right Side Radio is hiring, and you can go to the website, rightsideradio.org, right at the very top of the page, of the main page, you'll see a thing that says Right Side is hiring. Click on that, drop down it'll give you the whole layout of what we're looking for. Tell you how to contact us. You can contact us right through the website. And we will be glad to talk with you soon. Hiring now. So yeah, Right Side Radio, we're hiring. Other things are on that page though. I mean, rightsideradio.org is where you find out all the stuff. I mean, if we got something going on, if we've just finished something, then it's all on there. So yeah, when Copper and I write things that get published statewide, they're on there. When we do podcasting, which is every day, there's 57,000 downloads of the podcast so far. You can find all the podcasts on there. Photo gallery of things that we've done, places we've been. You can click on one for the Right Side store, and you can order coffee mugs, stickers, T-shirts, Right Side socks, because everybody needs Right Side socks. I like them. They're kind of cool. You know, kind of bright color with a big gold star on them. I like them. Anyway, Right Side socks are on there. But yeah, all that to say, the other thing that we've got on there, though, is the listen live option. Doesn't matter where you are in the big wide world, I always say, go to the World Wide Web and click on rightsideradio.org. And yeah, you can find all our stuff right there at the website to include the listen live option so that, here's the words, no matter where you is, there we is. That's why we have callers from out of state. That's why we have people that listen, you know, all over the state of Alabama. And so anyway, appreciate it. And it's all on the website, rightsideradio.org. Okay, listen, I'm going to want to hear from y'all today. I mean, we've been talking about these elections for, Lord, months. Really, almost a year. I think Katie Britt came on my show, like, Copper, when was that, last summer? I mean, she's only really been on once with me, but that was last summer, I think, wasn't it?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, and we've had, you know, of course, Mike Durant, Casey Wardinsky, Dale Strong, a number of state legislative races. Paul Sanford's been on the show multiple times. Just you know, gubernatorial candidates on the show. Lieutenant Governor Will Ainsworth. Anyway, what I'm saying is we've been talking to candidates, and now they're not candidates. We're down to where we have our nominees locked in, and we're headed to the November general election. So I want to hear what y'all think. So this next half hour, I'm going to be spending time in number one of the Triple Dipper, election aftermath, talking about the wins and the losses, what they said and didn't say afterwards. But I do want to hear from y'all, too, because I'm curious, how's it resonating with you? What do you think about the wins and the losses? Are you feeling smoked by it? Are you feeling good about it? Are you hopeful? Are you just kind of accepting it? Just give me your thoughts. So, yeah, the phone lines are going to be open now, 866-494-9866, if you want to call in. Copper will grab that phone, and I'd love to hear your feedback. We are going to a break in a minute, so keep that in mind. But nonetheless, 866-494-9866. We'll just keep them open all the way up to the top of the hour. And then top of the hour, my buddy Jeff Poor is going to call in. Jeff is not only a solid political guy in terms of his own, you know, review of things and keeping tabs on things, but he's also the political editor for 1819 News, and he's an editor for Breitbart. So Jeff sees things and adds a lot of good color background to the discussion. We'll have him on at 3 o'clock. Man, that's a lot. That is a whole lot. And I got to tell you, too, there's breaking news today about gun control. So it's not going to be a day just about election stuff. We got to talk about that. That's been the big ticket item for a while. But what's maddening to me is that, you know, here we are, where Democrats can't get anything done on their own, and we've got any number of things happening around, and reports are coming out. In fact, it's on the big screen right now here in the studio. Reports are coming out that the shooting in Uvalde, Texas, while the criminal was the one who was at fault, obviously, that the police reacted so poorly and the doors were likely unlocked and there was no school resource officer at that school, those things combined to make it far worse. And yet Republicans just joined with Democrats in D.C. to begin moving forward on gun control. Never mind that it could have been stopped by things that are completely unrelated to the fact that they're going after our Second Amendment rights. So we're going to talk about that as number two on the Triple Dipper. Well, I know we got a break coming. I don't hear any music yet, but I know we're about to head that way. But listen, the phone lines are open. There it is. The phone lines are open. 866-494-9866. Y'all call in. Tell me how you feel about the elections, and I'll keep talking. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Going now to the phones, and by the way, I said the calls are coming in. And by the way, line five, Copper, what's that line five that was not a caller, but what did he say?
Oh, yes, one of our listeners really liked the always totin' Jeremy Oden ad and just wants to hear it one more time.
No.
I told him you'd probably lose it if you had to hear it one more time.
I'm so sorry. And I, by the way, I have to question the mental acuity of anyone who wants to hear that again, which is like an insult to my listener, and I apologize. But nonetheless, he probably said that knowing that I hate that commercial. No. Always toting Jeremy Oden is gone. Hey, let me jump over to line three, though. Hey, this is Chad. All right, Chad from Huntsville worked in the Wardinsky campaign as a campaign manager. Hey, Chad, how you doing today, man?
I'm all right. How are you, Phil?
I'm good. It's wasn't the night y'all had looked for, though, I guess, huh?
Well, you know, it wasn't. But I just wanted to call in, and, you know, the election's over. So maybe even though I worked for the guy, things I say on this call have a little bit more, you know, lean with people. But, you know, when you're a presidential appointee and you're confirmed by the Senate, you're an honorable for life, and that's not just a title for Casey. I mean, getting to know him and his wife Karen and you know, Sue, his first wife, her family, I mean, these are the most incredible people. And the thing you would hear with Casey, whether he was speaking at a big event like the Get Out the Vote thing at Ditto Landing, or if he was at a GOP meeting or anywhere, the same things he said there were the same things he said to me one-on-one at midnight when we were just in his living room working on, you know, anything, a Facebook post or an op-ed or anything like that. So the guy, when we would have something coming out and, you know, we had a request for a response, the first thing he would always say over the course of this last 13, 14 months was, we're going to do the right thing. We're going to be honest and we're going to tell the truth. You know, he's got the most incredible character of anybody I've met. So for him, the honorable Casey Wardinsky is not just a title. I mean, what a guy. And, I listened to your opening monologue about the Holyfield Tyson fight. And, you know, Casey got bit on the ear a few times, but for his campaign and the way he made it run, it was the praise and worship music in the locker room before the fight. And I can't say anything more about the guy other than how great he is.
Well, hey, Chad, man, I just want to give you a chance to run there. I mean, I didn't know you were going to call in, but that's I think that's huge. When you spent that kind of time with him, you're not saying it right now because you're trying to get votes. You're not looking for a job in D.C. You're really just saying it because you got to spend a detailed time with someone and his family for over a year. And I really appreciate you letting the world know, you know, from the inside, what you think of his character and that it was unimpeachable to you. So that's a big deal, man. And that's a great testimony. Thanks for calling that in. And, hey, by the way, appreciate you too. So, you are indeed a right side ruffian, man, to stay a part of the audience and, keep us in tune with where you're going next. All right.
Well, thanks, Phil. And thank you for all you and Copper too. All y'all are doing.
Absolutely. All right, Chad, you take care, brother, and hope to talk to you again sometime soon. That was Chad, who was the campaign manager for Casey Wardinsky. What a solid thing to be able to call in and say, the election didn't go the way we wanted, but that's a guy who I would stand by anytime. And that's pretty cool, because I've been around people who worked in campaigns, you know, who said that they would, you know, stand by the person. And then I've had, you know, folks who worked with candidates who really realized they didn't care much for the candidate at all. hey, let me jump over to line four. He's been holding for quite a while. Brian from Huntsville. Brian, how you doing today, man?
Doing well. Most of the people that I voted for didn't get elected, but that's the way of things. And I did say a prayer out loud today, which was, please, God, help future Senator Katie Brooks, the Brit, please help her prove me wrong. And I really mean that. And for all of us Mo Brooks supporters out there, please keep that in mind and support her at every chance that you get, but keep the eye on the ball. And if she runs off in the ditch, please pull a Clint Eastwood. Nag, nag, nag. Y'all have a good one.
All right, Brian, take care, man. Yeah, I think there's a lot of folks feeling that way. If you were a Katie Britt fan from day one, then you're happy. I mean, you got to watch someone who was polling in, I think, single digits early on, never run for office before, and basically took it all the way to the House. And she's got the general election to go now, but I mean, it's a Republican state, and you know, unless there's some scandal in her life that happens way now in November, she's going to be the next U.S. Senator. And I said that for months, with Mike Durant and, Mo Brooks and Katie Britt, that one of those three was going to be your U.S. Senator, because the Democrats couldn't hold a stick to that statewide race. So, if you're a Katie Britt fan, you're happy. If you're not a Katie Britt fan, become one. All right. Become one. You can't go to church only because you like the pastor. You don't, you know, watch the baseball team only because of one player. You don't have the luxury of saying who your boss is every day at work, but you still go to work. You know, you don't always get the teacher you wanted. So what I'm saying is this. If this was not the way you wanted that election to go, or any of the other elections that we're going to talk about here in a few minutes, it's time to suck it up. It's time to go ahead and sort of like Brian said, keep your eye on them. You know, if you believe that they were different than what they said they were, then keep your eye on them and, you know, try to be one of those who hold your elected officials accountable. Call into this show, tell me what you see and think. But that being said, unless you intend to vote Democrat or the occasional Libertarian candidate in the fall, then you now have your candidate. Time to suck it up and get behind them. All right. That being said, let me just jump into some things I've got here. If you want to call in, you still can. 866-494-9866. I've got a number of races to cover down on, because number one on the Triple Dipper is the election aftermath. So you heard it. I mean, number one, first of all, it's done. That cake is baked. The Katie Britt, Mo Brooks U.S. Senate race is complete. The Trump unendorsement, re-endorsement is complete. And she gave a great, by the way, she gave a great acceptance speech. And I thought it was a very gracious speech. Now, she won, so it's easy to be gracious when you win, but I don't want to take away from it, because it actually was a really good and apparently heartfelt speech. And she starts off, literally, after being introduced by someone who I know and appreciate, State Senator Garland Gudger over in Cullman, she starts off by saying, saying, thank you, Alabama. Thank you, we did it. And first and foremost, I want to thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's the first thing she said. Well, you know, you can't go out in public and say Jesus is Lord unless there's something there. And she went on to acknowledge that when her campaign began, that Brooks was polling at 60% and that she had won with 65%, which was a complete sea change. And, you know, and it was a long year. It was a slogging year. Now, I'll say this, too. She had every asset available to her. Now, she truthfully, if you had to look at it, she was the one supported by the establishment. This article in 1819 News that I'm looking at, forgot to rattle the paper, points out the fact that she had the unwavering support of almost every trade association in Montgomery. She also had the full support of Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell and the resources in Washington at his disposal. She was also backed by incumbent Senator Richard Shelby, the Alabama Farmers Federation, and a vast network of donors from all over the state of Alabama. She raised tens of millions of dollars for her campaign and the super PACs who flooded Alabama's various media streams. So I'll say this. There's a comment, there's an old phrase that money is the mother's milk of politics. Unfortunately, that's true. Every single campaign sign costs money. Every single mailer, every single pushcard, every single opportunity to put a clipboard in someone's hand and have them walk the streets and knock on doors. Every time you drive to the next county fair or across the state to the chili cook-off, all of that costs money. And she had the benefit, too, of Mo Brooks had to be in D.C. quite a lot doing his job. But I'll say this, too, all right, to her absolute credit, Katie Britt ran one of the best retail politics campaigns I've ever seen. And I've seen a few. I've been around politics. I've been around since my dad ran for governor, which probably a lot of y'all have forgotten about. But I have seen campaigns, and she had the better ability to go and resonate with the average citizen than Congressman Brooks did. And it just, there's no way around it. She was appealing. She was energetic. She was young. She was able to get on stage with her family. She's married to a former pro football player, All-American at Alabama. And it just basically appealed to voters in a big, big way. So all that to say, she also went on to thank, of course, her husband has had amazing things to say about, you know, him and his support and the fact that he quit his job so that she could do this. She went on to thank Congressman Brooks and pledged to do what she could right now to work to gain the support of Brooks's supporters. All the things you're supposed to say, she said. And so that was the big ticket race on last night's statewide ballot, was that U.S. Senate race. Now, you know, I'll be honest with you. I do want to see Congressman Brooks has a great voting record. Congressman Brooks has been able to stare down liberals for years, and they don't know what to do with him because he stands on those principles that he's always stood on. But I will say this. I think there were aspects of his concession speech that I kind of wish he had just left off. Tell you about that when we get back. We got a break to take right now. But we got that. We got Commission Chairman Dale Strong, who I believe is going to be the next congressman from the 5th District. And then we got statewide races. And then top of the hour, my buddy Jeff Poore will be on with us, breaking it all down, his thoughts on where we went statewide. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Y'all stand by. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right, and oh yeah, saving the world one soundbite at a time is what I'd like to say. Phones are ringing again. If you want to call in, we'll take them, 866-494-9866. I got a call on line one. Let me grab that. Hey, it's Steve from Tennessee. Steve, how you doing, bud?
I'm doing fine, Phil. I just wanted to say your story about the man that was the cook that was in Ranger school and dropped out because of lifting the candy bar and then had the guts to come back. That was an awesome story, but one of my Army buddies, I was 30-year Navy, and we worked alongside Navy construction. We worked alongside the Army and the Marine Corps, and I had a Ranger friend that was talking to me about this very same situation, and told me that the worst company commander he ever had to deal with was a guy that washed out of Ranger school because he lifted a pack of ketchup, and that guy had a burr under his saddle forever. And I think the point of your story was you can get over the burr and contribute like the cook and elevate yourself beyond where you would have been if you'd have just made it on the first pass. Or you can ride that burr and ride it into, you know, of the oblivion. So there you go. But anyway, I appreciated your story very much. Yeah. That kind of hit my heart.
Yeah. Well, thank you, brother. Appreciate that very much. And yeah, that was an amazing story. I mean, here I was literally still in the throes of feeling the effects of finally finishing all of the patrols, all of the training, all of the various, you know, hard to do aspects of Ranger school. And sitting next to me was a guy. He was like sitting diagonally across from me in the back of a deuce and a half. They had these flip out bench seats, and we're sitting in the back of this deuce and a half, riding back. Everybody looking just bedraggled, like a whole bunch of, you know, concentration camp victims. And this guy sitting diagonally across from me just finished it for the second time. Holy cow! Well, but that's the deal. He wasn't going to let his legacy be that. And that, I'm sure that candy bar wasn't near worth it. He probably kicked himself 1,000 times for the fact that he had to have that candy bar. But, you know, honor violation being what it is. But old boy went back to regiment and earned his way back. So that's good doings. Hey, listen, we got Jeff Poore calling in a few minutes after the 3 o'clock break. Let me just kind of wrap up discussion of my own here about the U.S. Senate race. Congressman Brooks, I meant what I said earlier. He's one of a number of people who are not going forward in elected office that I really do believe have something to contribute still to this state. And I hope that he, among those others, is not going to sort of fade away. I mean, there's something that can be done, like with guys like if you're listening out there, Paul Sanford, Bill Holtzclaw, Mike Durant, I just mentioned Mo Brooks, Jeff Sessions still. I mean, there are people who have a wealth of experience, who know the ins and outs of public service, who understand conservatism, who are worthy of hanging out and getting something more accomplished in terms of trying to impact culture. So anyway, but Brooks gave a speech last night, and I kind of wish he hadn't given this speech. The reality is, I mean, he started off thanking his supporters, and rightfully so, and because they stood by him. I mean, he still had, even though he only had, I think, roughly, 33%, I think, of the electorate last night, and nonetheless, that's still a lot of people. And so he started off by thanking them, but then he went on to say, "I would be remiss if I did not congratulate the Alabama Democrat Party for helping to ensure the Democrat nominee in the Republican primary won." Save that for another day is my thought. That wasn't the time. And he went on to talk about some other things. He was asked about his plans after the runoff, and he said, and rightfully so, he said, "I got 6 more months as a congressman. I'm flying to D.C. in the morning." So no rest for the weary. Congressman Brooks right back at work, had to head up there because, I mean, they got things like gun control legislation and all kinds of shenanigans that are happening. And when you're running for reelection in a tight race, you don't necessarily have the luxury of not doing what you've been elected to do. He has to go back and do it. So no time off for Congressman Brooks, it looks like. Other folks, though, who were there last night made some comments. David Black, I know David, he's over in Muscle Shoals. His comments were that the Republican Party now has a task on its hands, he said, to define conservatism, to find its future going forward, to not forget the past, but to remember what it means to be an American, a conservative, and a Republican. And there is a stark contrast, he said. We can't be like everyone else. We must be different. That's David Black from the Shoals talking. David Pinkleton, somebody else who I know. I think the first time I met David Pinkleton, he was actually working for Paul Sanford. He's 35 years old, though, from Huntsville. He said it's a disappointing night for conservatives, in his opinion. He says the GOP establishment won. Katie Britt will probably hold this Senate seat for decades like Richard Shelby did for the rest of my life, for the most part. So, last night was a tough night for those on the other side of that election. Well, listen, we're going to break it down further, and I got so much more. We didn't even talk about the congressional race yet, except for Casey Wardinsky when Chad called in. I got things on state House and Senate races. I'll break some of that down, though, with my buddy Jeff Poore, who's calling in right after this break. Y'all stay tuned. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. We'll be right back.